So the first thing I wanted to ask is, how have you been doing during this pandemic?
Personally, and probably professionally, both. It was pretty stressful at first, so for the first couple of months, I think, just because of the unknown, all the unknowns and things changing so quickly and so drastically. So just it felt like when your whole life is changing, we always, you know, I'm a therapist also, I'm an LCSW, so we tell people, don't change everything in your life at once. You know, start small. So, but this didn't start that way. So that it was a lot to adapt to.
Like pretty much everything else, I'm guessing some of your services are now virtual. What has been happening with Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency since the coronavirus pandemic began?
We have been doing a lot of virtual things. Our psychiatrists, we already had a couple of psychiatrists that provided telepsychiatry for us that were in other parts of the country. So, but our on-site prescribers went home. And so they are also providing virtual services, as well as our therapists and our case managers. So, and our drug and alcohol counselors. So that's been something different that that has happened. So we've learned a lot since then. And even just the setup as an agency of so many people just trying to get set up and prepared to work remotely and to provide those services remotely in such a short amount of time was interesting. So we're providing a lot of virtual and then telephonic services.
What we're experiencing with this pandemic is widely viewed as unprecedented. How have you been able to gauge how to approach the situation since we really haven't seen anything like this before?
You know, a lot of it has to do with communication. We have a very strong leadership team here in adult services. And so in adult services, we have adult protective services, in-home support services, public guardian, public authority, and then all the mental health programs for adults in Shasta County. So the leadership team of all of those programs, we met regularly, we meet regularly, we plan regularly, in addition to in HHSA, Health and Human Services Agency, meeting with the leadership to kind of just work through this together, because every day it seemed like it changed. You know, one day we're telling our staff, okay, we're doing this, and the next thing we're like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Now we're doing this. And we're not used to being inconsistent like that, so that was something to adapt to. But, you know, I think everybody was experiencing the same thing, that as things rolled out, things were changing as we were rolling them out. So that's what we kind of did. It was really about communication and making sure that we all knew what was happening, and that we communicated that well to our employees as best we could. So that's kind of how we have made it through so far.
Have these events triggered an increase in adults seeking services online? What sort of things are people struggling with?
You know, I don't know about online. We have had some of our clients who have challenges getting in to services, like the online services better. Some of them don't. Some people don't have access to that. So I wouldn't say that it increased. And, in fact, all of our services really decreased pretty significantly in the very beginning. And, you know, we were not seeing clients showing up, even though we've been open and providing services throughout the entire pandemic. It really decreased a lot, and being able to reach people was challenging. And if we did, they didn't really want to engage. And so I think that kind of leads to what have we been experiencing is that the unknown has caused people, I think, to just pull in and not want to engage just because nobody knew what was happening, and all the information that was coming out kept changing. And so that's what we saw. We saw an increase of people calling just to ask questions as opposed to calling in crisis. We had a reduction in crisis phone calls, but we had an increase in question phone calls. So that was something that we didn't anticipate we thought we would see a lot more crisis type of calls. But what people are struggling with is the isolation, feeling isolated, feeling alone, feeling tired, having kids at home all the time, working at home, you know, when's it going to end, the anticipation, the fear that if you go out, something bad's going to happen to you. So a lot of anxiety is what we've seen with people. And again, because it's unknown, and then, you know, some say, oh, do it this way, wear masks, don't wear masks, you know. So it's just been such a interesting journey that just trying to figure out how to help people, you know, to deal with their anxiety. And so we've been seeing a lot of that. So, and for people with mental illness, isolation usually is not in their best interest. And so we've seen, you know, some people become, you know, challenged and, you know, it challenging their mental health in that way, because we work really hard to help them to stay social. That's one of the interventions that works well. And with this, it didn't really lend itself to supporting that. So,
for those looking, what adult services are currently being provided by the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency?
Well, like I said, for the most part, most of our services across the agency continued, but maybe at a lesser or a different way. But current at adult services, we have continued with our in-home support applications, you know, continuing to take applications. In mental health, they continued to see clients face-to-face. And we continue to do 5150 evaluations. We still do that. We're continuing to provide services, whether it's telephonic or face-to-face. Adult Protective Services continued to get, you know, allegations of abuse that they had to respond to. And so they continue providing that, as well as with our public guardian continuing to make sure that clients are safe and taken care of. So most of our services have continued, like I said, only at, it might be at a lesser amount, but for the most part, we've been business as usual for the most part.
From your perspective in the mental health world, what should the public know about the effects this pandemic is having on the local community?
Well, I think you can see some of it, you know, in the news. It comes down to anxiety, and, you know, people become anxious when they don't know what's happening, and confused, you know, when they're confused, and you get different opinions, so you're not sure who to trust or who to believe. And when it's your health and the health of those you love, it's, you know, of course it's important, and they pay special attention to that. So for our community, I think what we are seeing is, you know, people wanting to get back to normal, but normal as we knew it isn't going to be. And so it's hard, again, to how do you imagine that? How do you move forward and develop a new normal when that looks different to everyone? And so it tends to increase agitation and decrease tolerance. And so hopefully, you know, our community can continue to be kind to each other, because no one knows. This is so new. This is so unprecedented. Like you said, they don't know what the answers are completely, what it'll look like. But we do know some things, health, you know, wise, that come out from, you know, our public health department that, you know, tell us about, you know, what we do know. So trying to take that information and applying it in a, you know, in a practical, mindful way is important, but it's hard because people have different opinions about what it should look like. So that's what I think for our community. So just knowing that, you know, everybody's trying to do the best they can. You know, assume positive intention. I don't think anybody is trying to take advantage or do something negative to anyone. And I think it does help, you know, for some of it, it's allowed us to do some, you know, spend more time together. And as a community, we're bonding over this disaster, which we know that overcoming adversity builds resilience. And so the fabulous thing about this is this is going to make us a more resilient community. Just like last year when we experienced the car fire, you know, this is different but the same in that as a community we're overcoming this, and we will overcome this, and we'll just continue to be more resilient as a result of it.
Now, as a journalist, my job consists of just reading news and being online for most of the day. So my life is consumed with COVID-19 news. It's probably not a good thing, but do you think the constant monitoring of news affects mental health? And do you have any recommendations for people like me who either work in the media or are just news junkies?
I can't imagine your life being consumed by COVID, and because it's so long. I think as a journalist, my guess is that you know that's what you look at, are events, and then you get saturated by them. But they're usually short term. This one's so long, and so my worry for you or for news junkies is that saturation could have an effect on your mental health for sure. And one of the things, if you weren't a journalist, I would be saying to people is reduce the amount of time you spend exposed to information, just because it does affect your mental health. There's so many different opinions, different suggestions, science. One uses science to say this, one uses another. So I would say to you, make sure you take care of yourself, step away, and give yourself breaks for sure, because it's not your reality. When you look at it, it is your reality, but when you step away, you're reminding yourself that there's another reality, and that's the other things, the relationships, your physical health, your emotional health, your health and well-being. That is also a part of your reality, and you have to take care of that too. And so just making sure that you do that for yourself and for people who don't do journalism, just trying to make sure that they get as much accurate information instead of listening to all the different suggestions and information. So make sure you take good care of yourself.
Do you envision that pandemics and other crises would advance the use of virtual health services?
I think so. We have a new CAO here in Shasta County, and he has suggested to us to kind of, as a county, look at the future a little bit and look at telecommuting or virtual services that we are using now that we think have been helpful. A serendipitous experience that we went, wow, we would never known that if we didn't experience it. And so how can we move forward in the future and continue that? So, yes, I do believe that health services are going to, we know that it's moving in that direction, more virtual services. And so for the government as well to be able to come alongside that, I think is fabulous for us to be able to have that flexibility because we need to, because it's about meeting our clients where they are. And as times change, we also have to make those adjustments. So being able to use it where it's helpful and that it helps clients, and I think is a fabulous idea. And even for our staff, will be helpful for our staff as well. So, yes, I absolutely believe things like this. I know it has had a direct effect on how we'll do business in the future here in Shasta County.